Okay, as we always start off every week, I go back to the note cards again. The first note card that I have in my stack, okay, is a summary of 1 Peter. Remember from our first homework assignment, okay, what main thought did you have? So on that card, I've got a summary of 1 Peter. I have relationships and victory in the midst of suffering, okay? Then we have our PQRST card. What does that stand for? P is preview. Q?
Quiz.
Read.
Study.
Okay, read, record, and review. S is study. T is test. Very good. Okay. While we're previewing, there are 10 or 11 different items that we're looking for as we preview a chapter. We'll be doing that with chapter 3 today. Okay. One of the abbreviations that we use is 2FBIT, and that stands for font size, font style, right? The type of writing and the size of it. Okay, B, boldness, bold print, I, italics, T, titles or headings, okay? Another one that we have is CUP, C-U-P, and that stands for capitalized letters, okay?
Underline.
Okay, and P?
Pictures.
Okay, pictures, and it includes cartoons or drawings that we may have. Okay, another card is D-O-H-T, or dot H, or however you want to do it to make it easy for you to remember. The D stands for?
Diagrams.
O?
Outlines.
Outlines. H? Highlights. Right, and T?
Text
box. Right. Okay, very good. I also have a note card, okay, for the 3 C's of the Bible study, what we're doing every week, right? C number one is looking for
conviction.
The conviction of sin. The other, another C?
Challenge.
And our service.
Right. And then the third one?
Comfort.
Okay, very good. Okay. I did make a card. Remember 1 week we looked at the space pets from Rick Warren. Okay, I do have a card for that, but I'm not really using that card a lot. Another thing that I've been doing, okay, we started last week with chapter 2, and we're going to continue now for the rest of the time, is I made another note card that says 1 Peter 2. And on the back side of that, I put down what the two headings were, remember the two main headings that we had, living stone and chosen people, and submission to rulers and masters, okay? And then we'll do this, we'll do a card for today also. Now, the reason why I'm doing these cards, okay, is not to get me to memorize what the book of Peter is all about, or what the chapters are, the divisions. I do that for me. As I'm reading, or I'm talking with somebody, all of a sudden I say, someplace, I remember reading about the relationship between a living person and a chosen people. Where was that? And I can't remember. Well, you know what? If I have my note cards, I just look at that and I'll say, oh, yeah, that was chapter 1. So now, when I want to refer to it, when I'm in a discussion with somebody, I can go, I look at that and I say, oh, that was in 1 Peter chapter 1. So I open my Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, or wherever the passage may be. Okay? So that's why I keep my note card. It helps me to recall where it is. I can't possibly remember everything that I have to remember. Okay? Today we've got 2 biggie topics that we're going to be talking about. And one of them is going to be about defining words. So if you excuse me for 1 second, I've got to get some of the books from on the back table there. We'll be using those. In this message this morning, Ron gave us a great example of one of the things that we do. We looked at the word submit, okay? And Ron mentioned to us that submit is not the same as obey. They come from different Greek words. Sometimes when I'm reading in the scriptures, I'm not sure exactly what they mean by a word. So when we don't know what we mean by a word, what's the first thing that we usually do?
Call somebody.
Call somebody. That's a good one. I like that. What's another thing that we can end up doing?
Go to a dictionary.
Remember the big dictionaries that we used to have in school, huh? Well, now most of us will go on the computer and find it. So, I indicated that one of the main thoughts that I believe about the book of 1 Peter, okay, was about suffering. What's meant by the word suffering? Any ideas? Anybody have any definitions?
Uncomfortable,
that's a good one. Anything? Suffering.
Pain.
Pain, yeah. Unsuffering, uncomfortable, okay. Anything else?
Put up with.
Put up with. Okay, that's good. So now I come to 1 Peter, and I'm reading in chapter 3, and all of a sudden I come to the word suffering. Does it mean uncomfortable? Does it mean pain? Or
put up with?
How do I know what it means? Well, I can go to a dictionary to find out. So if I go to a worldly dictionary, this is a Funk and Wagnalls, okay, and the print is so small. Okay, suffering. It gives a whole bunch of definitions. Suffer. To feel pain or distress. To be affected injuriously or experience loss or injury. To undergo punishment, especially to be put to death. To have inflicted on one, sustained as an injury or loss. To undergo, to pass through as change. To bear, endure, or to suffer more pain, or to allow or permit. Okay, so that gives me a whole bunch of definitions of what the word suffer means. How do I know what it means in the scripture? What's the best way to find out in scripture?
From the context.
From the context is one really good way to do it. And I'm going to show you some other resources that we can end up using. Okay, this is an illustrated Bible dictionary. Okay, so now instead of just giving us general terms that the world would end up using, it's going to give us something specific to the Bible. So in this one here, it talks about agony, affliction, or distress. And it goes and it gives what it means in different passages of the scripture. Okay? So that's one way that can help us to unlock what it means in a specific verse. Okay, Kevin?
Do we still have to be wary of biases through the dictionary and people?
Yes. Okay. What a Jehovah's Witness kind of a Bible, okay, the New World Translation will end up giving as a translation, is going to probably be very, very different than what a traditional Protestant definition is. A Roman Catholic dictionary will come across with what the Roman Catholic has determined that definition to be. So yes, there are still going to be biases in the dictionaries. After a while, you start to recognize the ones that you can rely on, you can depend on. And until you're sure about that and you get confidence yourself, okay, I would really recommend talking with one of the pastors or one of the elders or somebody who's got a walk in the church that you really respect. So, yes, beware of biases, okay? Because one thing we all do is we all like to give our own opinion about things. And so sometimes that's going to skew the whole meaning that I've got. Another tool, okay, is what's called, these are all listed in the handouts that you have, so you don't have to worry about writing all of this down. Okay, Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, okay? Now, again, that's going to give definitions. I'm going to start this one this way. You can pass it up and down the aisle. You can look at that. Yeah. Okay, and this is just an unabridged edition of just the New Testament words, which is basically the same as that one, except that includes the Old Testament also. So if you want to just pass these right down the aisle so everybody has a chance to look at them. Okay, all that being said, here's some of the things that we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Okay? We're going back to the Greek. The letter of 1 Peter was written in Greek. Remember how we read it in just a letter form at the beginning? Well, this comes from the Vine's New Testament expository. Suffer as a verb, okay, when it's translated as a verb, can come from the word aniko, okay, bear with, okay, to bear with something. The ones that we're mostly going to be interested in Peter, comes from pasco, okay, it talks about the suffering of Christ by men, okay, in 1 Peter we talk about that. Then we talk about the expiatory and vicarious sacrifice for sin. That's Christ's finished work on the cross for us. So one meaning is suffering of Christ by men. Another meaning would be Christ's work on the cross. Then there's human suffering that we endure as followers of Christ. And that's also going to be in 1 Peter. And then it talks about our identification with Christ as a spiritual ideal, and it talks about maltreatment, okay? So there are a whole bunch of different other words can also be, okay, all of these, and they all have different meanings. So how specific do I want to get for the meaning, okay? Today, we're not going to be looking at all of that. I just want you to be aware that that's something that you can study. How much do I want to get into this? How much do I want to dig into this? Okay, for my personal understanding of the passage that I'm studying. What I'm going to be, and the materials on your handout. Okay, there's one page, one here. It's got a box like that that says, an example of a word study of suffering in 1 Peter 3. That's from the NIV Exhaustive Concordance. So it would probably be like on the third page or second page? Okay, second page. Thank you. Okay, so that's what we're going to be spending our time talking about. I come to a word, and my favorite way of trying to understand what something means when I don't understand it is I go to what's called an exhaustive concordance, okay? They're pretty big, okay? An exhaustive concordance differs from the concordance in the back of your Bibles. In the back of your Bible, we have a concordance. It's a listing of words, and it tells you where to find the passage, right? Everybody seen those, okay, in the back of your Bible? An exhaustive concordance is basically divided into several parts. The first part is it, in alphabetical order, it lists every word that's in the Bible. Okay? Every single word. Next to that, okay, it's going to be, there it is, it tells where it's located. It gives the address. After it gives the address, it gives a short part of what the sentence is, the context that it's used in. Then it's got a number afterward. And the number, depending whether you're looking in the Old Testament, under the Hebrew and Chaldee, or in the Greek for the New Testament, will tell you where in the back of the Bible you can find out more information. So, okay, I've got marked off here. Okay, we're doing the study on suffering. Okay? If we look at that handout, okay, we will notice, okay, in the main concordance, we looked up the word suffer. The entry will show that the word suffer occurs 50 times in the scriptures. So it's not just a couple of times in 1 Peter. This is 50 times throughout the scriptures where they use the word suffer. And refers to long suffering, suffered, suffering, sufferings, or sufferers. Okay, it can be translated any one of those ways. In the chart, the word, you'll notice it says suffer grief. Okay, and the address in 1 Peter is 1:6, and then you have the Greek numbering next to that. Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we have suffer 2:20, and the number is 42:48. Now, the 42:48, when I look that up, I will pass this. What it does is, if you, when this comes around to you, okay, the word 4240, it has a whole bunch of words. How many times it's used and where in the scriptures? Okay, so it tells me what word that is. And
can you just give an example?
Pardon me?
Can you just say one or two?
Okay. Down at the bottom of that box, okay, it says, please note there are different Greek words translated as suffer, suffered, suffering, sufferings, suffers in the New Testament version translation of the Bible, okay? In chapter 3, the Greek word is numbered 4248, okay? So in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, the word is 4248. That's the word pasto. Okay, so now, and it's translated 41 times, okay, alternate with, and then it's got alternate words, all right? So whenever we see it in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be talking about pasto. It'll either be, and we'll be able to tell, somebody mentioned the way we do it is by going into the context, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Okay? Because it's either going to talk about the sufferings of Christ at the hands of men, it's going to talk about the expiatory and vicarious suffering of Christ for men, or it's going to talk about human suffering as followers of Christ. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, you can even use, it might be better to use the handout. Okay, which is near the end. Okay, chapter 3, verse 14. Everybody have chapter 3, verse 14? In the handout, it's going to be next to the last pages. Yeah, okay, we can use that. Yeah. Okay, we can use that one too. Okay, it's located in a couple of different spots on there. So now, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. So is that talking about Christ, or is that talking about the believer? Pardon me? It's talking about the believer. So we're suffering for Christ. It's human suffering as following of Christ. One of the things that we know about that, it helps us to identify with Christ as a spiritual ideal. Okay? We suffer just as Christ has suffered. And then it talks about maltreatment, what happens when we do. So now for me, when I look at that and I plug that in to this verse 14, even if you should suffer for what is right. I don't know about you, but sometimes when life happens, I'm put into a situation where I suffer. It could be things that people do to me. It could be the way I'm treated. It could be the way things that people say about me. But I suffer. It hurts. So for me, that brings me a certain comfort knowing that I'm not the only one that's going through this. I might be going through it. And the suffering is going to be real. The pain is going to be real. The discomfort's going to be real. But you know what? It's an encouragement for me to know that I'm not the only one, because Peter talks about this back when he wrote the book of 1 Peter. If you suffer, okay, I'm going to be doing the same that other believers are going to be suffering. And who's my model? And then if I go back up to Christ, okay, I look at Christ and say, so now my prayer instead of being is, woe is me, which I am great at doing, okay, to confession time, okay, I'm really good at, woe is me. But you know what? Now what I can do is I can say, you know, God, thank you for giving me a slight little glimpse of what Jesus felt when he was suffering for me. When I am suffering is nothing compared to what he went through, the agony, the affliction, the being hit and beat and stoned and scourged and put crowns on his head. Thank you that I'm not at that point where I'm going through all of that. But thank you that you're giving me a little bit of a taste of what you did, because that's going to help me to be more conformed to you. Okay, so see how that can transform my understanding of what prayer, how I pray in the midst of suffering. Because we're all going to suffer. And there was a long time in my walk with Christ, like I mentioned, I tend to want to go to woe is me. Well, I would end up saying, why is this happening to me? Okay, God, just get me out of this. Okay, God, it's not fair. Okay, but then when I start to look at the scripture and I realize that this is giving me just a tiny glimpse of Christ and what Christ went through, it's helping me to conform my life more to his image and to be able to say to God the Father, you know, your will be done, not mine. Okay, just like Jesus ended up doing. So I can identify with Christ. So that's one of the ways that looking at words can be helpful to us if we start going back to what some of the Greek and some of the Hebrew is. Again, I caution you, okay, don't use one verse out of context, okay? We want to look at other verses that are in there. So I've got a listing of all the ones in 1 Peter. So as we're reading 1 Peter chapter 3, you may want to check some of these other verses in terms of helping you out, okay? Is that reasonably clear? Somewhat clear? Completely muddled. Okay. All right. So use a good Bible dictionary. You can get them, strangely enough, that big book that I've got there. Okay. You can get them relatively inexpensively through Christian book distributors. Okay. I'm not getting a commission from this, so don't think that I'm advertising for them or anything like that. But you can get paperback versions. You can go online. Okay. The Blue Letter Bible is a fantastic tool. And if you flip over one more page in your notes, there's, at the top of the page, it says, online example of a word study of suffering in 1 Peter 3. Okay, and that, in the next one, two, three pages, okay, walks you step by step. Click on this, and this is what you're going to see on your computer screen. Click on that, and this is what's going to come up on it, so that you can end up seeing exactly, you're doing basically the same thing without having to have the big book to look through all the time. Okay, I love the online thing because you can get all different translations. You can click on that. You can get different versions of the Bible. You can get commentaries. You can get aids. You can get all kinds of helps to help you better understand what the words are. Okay, another thing you can end up doing. Okay, and again, be careful on the bias on this. Okay, Google the word "suffering" in Greek. Okay. Or Greek word for suffering. But be careful, because anybody can post anything online. Okay, so you've got to be careful as to what the sources you are. One I trust a lot is Blue Letter Bible, and I also trust the Bible Gateway. That is another source. Has great, great information to help us, to help me to understand words. Well, I use these tools a lot. Because it really helps me to clarify what's going on. Okay? So that's that whole next section. It just walks you through how to do it on the computer. Okay? So if you want to try that and you're ambitious, you're welcome to do that. Okay? Any questions about word studies? Okay? We could spend a whole course just doing word studies and going through and looking at all these information and everything else. And who knows, we may at some point, but right now, I just want to introduce you to the concept that we can find definitions for words that are Bible-oriented and let the Bible explain itself. It's far better for me to go to the Bible and let the Holy Spirit reveal to me what God has in His Word than it is to go to a worldly source to try to get my definition of words. Okay? Ruth?
Okay. On the page that has the chart of suffer, and then there's numbering. There are other pages that are at the bottom, and they're like short and apart. There's something in green, and I don't know if my glasses are seeing it correctly. What is that again? Is it S similar, or is it an arrow?
Oh, yes, it's a little box with an arrow out of it.
Yeah, what does that mean? It's actually in the green.
Yeah, proof is online.
It's online.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
What was that?
If you look on the page that we were just talking about,
you can click on that.
Okay? There's a little box that's in green with an arrow on it. This is going to take all the work out of it for you, okay? If you click on that on your computer, it's going to automatically direct you to the source that it's referring to.
Okay.
All right. Okay? It's a link. That's all.
Okay.
That's what that is. So that, again, it's another tool to help us out. So with all the tools that we have, okay, and I'm assuming the reason why you're here is because you're hungering to learn more about God, okay, and His Word. So God has provided, has given men wisdom and women wisdom to provide materials and resources for us to help us to understand more clearly what His Word teaches. But again, when you're doing a word study like that, okay, don't just go to one verse, okay, don't put all your money in one bank account, because you could be way off base. Okay? All right. Now what I'd like to do, any other questions on that?
Here.
Any other questions? Yes?
Sorry, so where did these numbers come from? Like the Greek numbers? Does it look up the word and then it tells you these numbers?
Okay. Who's got the Okay. In the exhaustive concordance, okay, it gives here's the address, and this is 415 Clinton Drake, and you'll be able to remember that.
So you look up the word that you want to know,
right?
Yes, or whatever. And
correct. And then from there, we move on to the Greek word in the back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are we all set? Okay. At this point, we're going to kind of move. Bless you. We're going to kind of move on to the next portion. Okay. We're going to preview chapter 3. Do you have a question? No. Okay. That's it. Okay. We're going to preview chapter 3 in 1 Peter. So if you turn towards the end of your handout, you're going to see 1 Peter 3, NIV. Okay? So, according to this translation of the Bible, which is the online NIV Bible, okay, how many main sections are there in chapter 3? There are two, okay, and they are
wives
and husbands
suffering
for doing good. I can't help but wonder if it's not some kind of a weird sense of humor that the person who ended up writing these divisions has husbands and wives and suffering for doing good. I mean, it blows my mind when I think of that. Okay, Ron made a good point this morning, okay? Remember? Chapter 3 actually starts in, I mean, not chapter 3, chapter 5 actually in Ephesians actually starts one verse earlier, okay? So, again, whatever it is, if you're using this author's outline of the scriptures, so on my card, my note card for this, I have written on one side 1 Peter 3, okay, and then the two main points are wives and husbands and suffering for doing good. I found that it just really, really shows me the working of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because Ron and Vinny and I don't say, well, what are you talking about this week? What are you talking about this week? If you recall, last week I kept saying, remember, doesn't sound like what Vinny just finished saying upstairs? And this morning, this is basically what Ron ended up saying upstairs, too, okay? So, in chapter 3, okay, we've got two main sections. One is wives and husbands, and the other one is suffering for doing good. Okay. As we get ready to do the readings like we do for our homework assignments, okay, I want to call a couple of points to your attention. Okay, in chapter 1 it says, wives in the same way, Be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Wives, in the same way. In the same way as what? How are we going to find out?
Go back.
Go back. Okay, chapter 2 from last week. Okay, if you look at chapter 2, the end of chapter 2. It's talking about Jesus and Jesus' sufferings in verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So, wives, in the same way as who?
Christ.
The Lord Jesus, right? Okay. Who accepted us when we were sheep that have gone astray, we turned around and came. He accepted us. He paid our price for us. Okay. So we wanted to make that. Okay. Now, if you look at the marginal notes, the cross-reference, the parallel reference in there. Okay, for chapter 3, verse 1, what's the first reference that they have in there? First Peter 2, 18. Okay, so we would want to look at that. What's the next reference? Ephesians 5, didn't I hear about that someplace recently?
Yeah.
With an S.
Pardon me?
With an S.
With an S. What does that mean? Scrutinize carefully, right?
Similar.
Oh. Same.
Same. And if you read this passage here and you go back and read the passage that Ron shared with us this morning in the message, you're going to find out they're all, you know, they worded just a little bit differently because the Holy Spirit used the personalities of the authors of each of the book of the Bible. So what happened, they're going to be worded a little bit differently. One will clarify the other. Okay? One helps in better understanding. That's why we have the cross-references in the Bible, to hopefully help us out. I love the distinction that Ron made this morning. Okay, submit is not the same as to obey. Okay? One is a power-based relationship. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. And if you ask most men who know nothing about the Bible, they'll be able to quote you one, or misquote you one verse. Okay? Wives, be submissive. I think of Archie Bunker telling Ruth, Edith, you know, go over to the fridge and get me, you know, okay? And actually, that has nothing to do. And one, you did a great job with that. That really helped me out. And I realized why I have a lot of difficulty with that, because what it is, one of the things I am seeking for. So here we get true confessions time, okay? Conviction of sin in my life, okay? I'm a man who's looking to have self-respect. Okay? And that's why I respond in a lot of the ways that I end up doing. So when I don't respond in a healthy way, it's because I'm seeing it as a threat to me. It's all about me. It's not about the relationship that we have. So, you know, I mean, the challenge for me is to rethink how I'm looking at relationships and how I'm trying to get my needs in my own life met. Okay, I don't need addictions. Okay, I don't need power-based relationships. I don't need to dictate to other people what they need to do. Okay, in the past, when I have tried to tell other people what they did, because when I first came to know the Lord and I started to learn a little bit about the Scripture, I'd say, Chris, you know what you need to do, and Ralph, you know what you have to do, and I tell you exactly what the Scripture tells you that you needed to do. Okay, because I didn't understand the Scripture, I didn't understand how God works, and I certainly wasn't going to apply it to my own life. So it was easy for me to do that. So I found out that in my life, the more that I ended up trying to control other people's lives, the less control I was in my own life. So I tried to get my power in that way. So, you know, we men that are married, you have to be careful about that in your lives, okay, as I do and mine. What is it that that's motivating our relationship? And I love the diagram with the circle. You know, about the respect and the relationship and how it moves. Right? I thought that was so great and helpful for me. So again, as you're going through these passages, okay, this week, you may want to, as you're doing the reading for the homework assignments, look up one or two of the references and see how it helps you to understand better the passage that we're reading here in 1 Peter 3. Okay? So we want to do, that's one of the things we want to do. The other one, of course, we've got our usual homework assignment. What challenge does that verse have? What comfort does that verse have? What conviction of sin does that verse have for me in my own life? And again, it all comes back to me and my relationship with God. And then how do I end up taking that relationship to some with other people? Okay, how do I relate with each and every one of you here in the class? How do you relate with one another? Okay, that's what it's all about. So the first section is going to, if you believe this to be the section that we're, the chapter divisions that we're looking at, you'll see wives and husbands. And then the second one, which really has come to mean a lot to me over the years, is the second part from verse 8 through 22, okay, is talking about suffering for doing good. Because Jesus promises in this high priestly period, John 17, that he who wants to do good will suffer persecution, right? He promises, for he's not taking the believers out of the world. What he's doing is taking the believers to give us, to empower us, to give us his strength. So what we want to do is apply all of that section to our understanding. So this week, extra credit question. Okay, explore one word in a concordance, and how does that clarify your understanding of the passage? If you don't have a concordance that gives you all the Greek number and everything, you can go back to the sheet that we passed out here and take one of those words and take a look at that chart. Okay, good with that. Okay, take a look at the word suffering from on this chart here, and down at the bottom, it helps you to look at some other passages that will hopefully clarify some of that for you. Okay? Do we have any other questions? Any comments?
Are you going to cover the subject suffering at the next session, or are you leaving that?
I'm introducing it as a topic for you to look at, and if you want to explore it some more, then I'm leaving it up to you. If any of you start to explore it, you want to talk about it some more, then don't hesitate. Give me a call or let me know, and we can spend some more time talking about it. That's one that really struck me as I read the book of 1 Peter. And that's part of the reason why I chose the book of 1 Peter, is because, you know, sometimes I have a lot of trouble understanding why there's suffering in the world, why I suffer. But if we understand it in terms of Christ suffering by men, Christ's work, finished work on the cross, right? And then human suffering as followers of Christ, in identification with Christ as a spiritual ideal, and in maltreatment, when we are maltreated, okay? If I look at it in that context, it should help pull some of it together. But if you want to explore it some more, we can do that too. That's one of the things I really love doing. I find that to be a good challenge for me, is I'll start going and, you know, like there's a whole bunch of different words that mean suffering in the scriptures. Okay, it's used 50 times, and there's a whole bunch of different ways that it's used. So each one gives me a slightly different understanding about it. Anyone else? Yes?
Well, the Lord said that in 1 Peter 2 that came to me the most in one of my times was, shall not be put to shame. Verse 6. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, I know there was a promise for me there somewhere, but putting to shame is really not something that we talk about a lot or use in our common parlance. So I began to follow that up, and the first The first translation I went to was KJV, and
yeah.
I got, shall not make haste. And that really didn't get me any place. So I went on to the next one, and I got, shall not be disturbed. Yeah. So it kept not getting clearer. It kept getting more confusing. I finally dug out the Amplify, and they have, will not be ashamed or give way or make haste in sudden panic.
Wow.
And also, they gave a reference to Romans 9:33. See, all that following up that I was doing was Isaiah 28:16, in the same translations I could grab. So then it referenced Romans 9:33, which is a quote of Isaiah 28:16. It says, he who believes in him shall not be put to shame, nor be disappointed in his expectations. And when I got that far, I thought, beautiful, I got what I want.
Praise God.
What does the Bible Dictionary say for shame?
Well, what was the translation that you were using that said shame? Shall not put to shame?
Get right here, the one you gave.
In this one, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to double check. I didn't want to speak for you. I think that is great. And one of the nice things is if you use the computer, okay, and you go to the Blue Letter Bible, you can go to one verse, okay, and click on that verse, and that verse will come up for you. Then there's a place where you can go on the page that has all those little blue boxes. Get the little blue boxes up on the side. Okay. All right. If you click on that, okay, one of them is, the C is concordances, the L is languages, the V is versions of the Bible, D is dictionaries of the Bible. But one of the things that you can do with the Blue Letter Bible is when you're looking up a word, you tell the computer what translation do you want to use. Okay? And that to me, that is just so helpful, because I'll do the same thing and I'll say, what in the world? How? I can't understand how that means shame means to be disturbed. I mean, it just doesn't, or haste isn't like the King James uses in that particular case. You've got to remember, though, that like in the King James, as with any other translation, words change meaning over time. So it made perfect sense to the writers of the King James translation to use that word. They knew exactly what was being talked about. The words have changed meaning. Oof.
Gene was just showing me yesterday that in the Baptist Bible, from the prior NIV version to this NIV version, how names in the Bible had changed spellings.
Yeah.
So in that short period of time, so if you go back to this example and you think of all the iterations and languages and stuff.
Yeah, the original King James came to us, the authorized King James came in 1611.
Right.
So words have changed a lot in that time. Yes?
Well, I don't have a computer at home. What I do have is a stack of Bibles, so it was kind of a physical exercise, too.
Yeah?
But what I really wanted to get to, and I tried to get it out of the books that you passed us today, too, since most of the follow-up I did was in the Isaiah, I want to know what that Hebrew word is that's being translated all these different ways. He who believes in him or in it shall not.
Yep.
Shall not what in Hebrew? Now, I got something in one of your books today for shame, but it wasn't Isaiah 28:16. So how do I get that?
Okay, for the sake of keeping everybody, can we talk about that as soon as we finish class, please? Okay, what I'm going to basically be doing is we're going to be going, I passed around the big NIV, Exhaustive Concordance. I have with me the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, which is for the King James translation. So we will look that word up.
I have that at home too, but that's English. I want the Hebrew.
The Hebrew will be shown to you in the Strong's Concordance.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll show you exactly what the word is when you go to the back of the Bible. Yeah. Okay, I thank you so much for your attention. Oh.